you referred to me at the beginning about a thought leader, and you hear that a lot. We also hear about LinkedIn experts, and the myth that I want to debunk is that those things exist. So I think people believe that a thought leader is some kind of mecca to become, got to become this thought leader. And for me, a thought leader typically is just somebody who's noisy. What we don't do is any validation on anything that they're saying. And in my experience, there is not a direct link between the noise that someone makes and the personal brand they've built and how good they are. There is a direct link between the noise that they make and how big, good a brand they've built and how good they are at that, but not how good they are at the actual thing that they preach about. So the amount of people I've met in my career and been lucky to meet who I've walked into a room with almost feeling overwhelmed by how amazing they are on LinkedIn or on Twitter or wherever their channel is. And I thought, this person is almost famous in their world, or potentially famous in some people's cases, that I've been disappointed when I actually engage with them on a human level and gone, oh, geez, okay, that's interesting, has been a real eye-opener for me. And I think it's about, you know, don't take things at face value when it comes to digital. The human being behind it is not the person that you see on those channels. And sometimes they're incredible, other times they're not. And I think we hang off of people's profiles on a B2B channel like LinkedIn or Instagram, and actually the human behind it is still exactly that. They're an imperfect human.
The smartest marketers from all walks of life, in every industry, talking about the latest trends, opportunities, and challenges. Insights from marketing executives at organizations like National Geographic, IBM, and the Baltimore Ravens. And tips from business authors and experts known around the world. Ways to improve your community's marketing, starting now, right here on the Marketing Smarts Podcast.
All right, B2B marketer, I'm super excited. You should be too, although I'm proud of you because you probably read this title, Empowering Sales Success. You might have stopped there. Hopefully not. Well, of course you didn't. You're hearing my voice, but it's more important about the role of marketing. That's right, the role of B2B marketing in sales enablement. I'm excited because it's a topic that I am passionate about. I'm also excited because I get to sit here and talk with Owen Richards about this topic. We're going to talk about what keeps Owen up at night. We're going to talk about hurdles. We're going to talk about potholes. We're going to talk about all the things that might get in your way, but we're also going to talk about success and tips and tricks and all of those things along the way. So make sure you have a notepad ready, piece of chalk, spray paint for your wall. I don't know, however you like to take notes. But ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead and get a word from our sponsor, learn a little bit more about Owen, and then we'll get into the good stuff. Now, a word from today's sponsor. Are you looking for great curated content specific to you, the B2B marketer? Want to have fun while also learning valuable information to help you succeed on a daily basis? Then you're in luck. Look no further. This week's Marketing Smarts podcast is brought to you by the Marketing Smarts live show. That's right, you can join us live every Monday where we shine the spotlight on you, the community members, share fresh B2B news, several top-notch curated articles to help you be a better marketer, and of course, have tons of fun along the way. If you want even more B2B marketing education with the ability to ask questions and engage with the rest of the audience, tune in every Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern for the Marketing Smarts live show. You won't regret the additional B2B learning you'll be adding to your life. Now, let's get back to this episode of the Marketing Smarts podcast. All right, with that out of the way, again, today is Empowering Sales Success, the role of you, the B2B marketer in sales enablement. We're talking with Owen. Now, Owen is the founder and CEO of Air Marketing. With a blend of outsourced sales and marketing services, Air's team of 100 people work with B2B, SaaS, tech, and finance companies to drive growth and revenue. Owen advises businesses on their go-to-market strategy and has a genuine passion for navigating the complexities of early-stage go-to-market in startup environments with a particular focus on people, the humans, ladies and gentlemen. Culture, let's go, and of course, strategy. Now, without further ado, go ahead and turn that dial up. Get those earbuds in nice and good. Get that notepad ready. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get into the good stuff. All right, Marketing Smarts listeners, it's your boy George B. Thomas, and we're back again. And today I'm super excited. Of course, I say that every episode, but think about this, empowering. The word empowering, what does that mean to you? The word sales, what does that mean to you as a B2B marketer? And the word success, what does that mean? Now, when we put all of those together, empowering, sales, success, it probably means something completely different than you just thought of. But we're going to talk about the role of marketing and sales enablement. And I am doubly excited because we have a thought leader. Owen Richards is here with me today. Owen, how the heck are you doing today?
I am extremely well. Thank you, George. Thanks for having me on the show. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun conversation. So, Owen, one of the things I like to do is throw a couple unique questions in here for the interview. The first one, it could be a nightmare. It could be a dream. But Owen, the Marketing Smarts listeners, AKA and me, want to know what keeps you up at night around sales enablement and marketing teams?
For me, sales enablement, it probably means two different things, and one for a marketing person and one for a sales-minded person. Sales enablement being the training and support for a salesperson coming from sales leadership, but also sales enablement being how can marketing support their sales team to make sure that they're more effective. In terms of what keeps me up at night around it, I'm going to talk about the former, which is that I think sales as an industry is failing miserably, absolutely miserably. And the reason for that is that we're not investing in salespeople. And that comes from both marketing leads, revenue leads, sales leaders, right across the mix. And for some reason, the sector has grown. We've hired loads of people into sales as an industry. Sales used to be a small thing in most organizations. It's now often one of the biggest departments. But there's been a lack of investment. There's been a lack of thought around how we do that, how we bring people into the sector, and how we help them to actually succeed. And there's so much information available now with poor advice, poor support, that I think we're just floundering as a sector. So it needs help. It needs help. And I think that stems with education. You know, sales isn't a qualification. There's no education behind it. There's nothing to help people know the difference between doing it well and not doing it well, except for freedom of thought and people's opinions. And with that comes such a variety. So, yeah, I think we're in danger of seeing the quality of the average salesperson reduce over the next decade significantly.
So it definitely sounds, Owen, like it might be more of a nightmare, less of a dream. And hopefully we're going to be able to fix a little bit of that nightmare over the time frame that we have for this podcast episode. And so it's funny, in the very beginning, you kind of alluded to sales enablement really can mean two different things. And so I want to dig into that and give you space to maybe talk a little bit deeper about the two different ways that a company might look at sales enablement. And then really double down on the side of, but if you're a marketer, this is probably what you're going to care about and what we're going to talk about today. In other words, for the rest of this podcast, when we say sales enablement, what the heck do we even mean? How do we define sales enablement to modern marketing teams?
I guess it differs depending on who you're talking to. Sales enablement, so enabling a salesperson, to me, meaning one is sales training, is how do I get this person to be the best at the human contact element of selling, the process element of selling? How do I get them to be as good as their job? So that's enablement on one side. The other way of enabling a person, and in this case a salesperson, is to give them exceptional content, exceptional tools, you know, the brand in the background, the stuff that can help them to be perceived as being more credible, more trustworthy. So, for example, if I'm on talking to somebody, I've got a prospect in a discovery call, and they're in the background looking at our website at that point in time, or they're looking at some content that we've produced. If that content is terrible, it doesn't matter how good my conversation is, their perception of the journey towards buying for us is influenced by that. And the same is true the other way around. I can be a pretty average salesperson, but if our brand reputation, our credibility, our content is exceptional, then that's going to help me to do my job. And I think that's a perfect example of sales enablement when it comes to a marketer's perspective.
Love it, love it, love it. So when we start to break this down a little bit more, Owen, and we think about the critical elements, there's kind of micro things. What are some of the critical elements of sales enablement that B2B marketers should be paying attention to that will help enhance the sales success, right? So this is less about the salesperson, more about the marketing team and what they need to do.
I think first and foremost, for me, it's about identifying the essence of a brand or an organization. So too many organizations are sheep. They follow. They just do what other people are doing. They don't have any form of personality. And if they do, it's pretty darn boring as a personality. It's not the kind of person you want to go and spend time with. I think we've got lots of organizations who just look the same, feel the same. So from a marketer's perspective, my starting point, if I own marketing for an organization, my first point is like, what's the essence of our brand? What do we stand for? What do we care about? How do we think? How do we talk? What kind of personality do we have? Are we edgy? Are we controversial? Do we have an opinion? Are we safe? And yeah, that's going to be different depending on the organization, right? Depends on what you're doing. But for us at AIR, we talk about be brave, sell more. Be brave, sell more. It's really obvious what that means. It's like, do something that other people are doing. Put yourself out there. Have an opinion. Say something that somebody might disagree with. Catch people off guard. Give people a sense of, oh, geez, I didn't expect that. And you get a response and a reaction out of that, and that will help you. So I think it starts with, like, with that definition. What's the essence of your brand? Who are you? What do you stand for? And then everything falls off of that. And it's working hard to stay consistent with that, to stay true to that. So if you are fun as a culture and you want to entertain, then find ways to produce content that do that and be consistent with it. So look, I think volume of content is important, quality of content is important, but consistency, tying it back to the essence of your brand and your organization, can have a big impact if you've defined it. More importantly, you've defined it well and you've got something different that's unique to you.
I love this idea of the essence of your brand, things that are unique to you. And I love the conversation of quantity, quality. Sometimes it's a versus, maybe it should be a both, but that was a great little section there. Marketing Smarts listeners, it actually might be a rewind spot where you go back with your notepad and your pencil, your paper. Well, maybe you're using an iPad or an Android device, I don't know, but hopefully you got some notes out of that section. So, Owen, one of the things, and I kind of date myself when I bring this up, one of the things that I absolutely love is the TV show Mythbusters. And so one of the questions we like to throw in here around any topic that we're covering is sales enablement and myths that you might want to bust or kind of go after and say, man, I'm so tired of people thinking this way. In other words, what is a common myth about sales enablement and marketing involvement that you want to debunk here on the Marketing Smarts podcast?
So I do have an opinion, whether it's directly linked or not, but you referred to me at the beginning about a thought leader, and you hear that a lot. We also hear about LinkedIn experts, and the myth that I want to debunk is that those things exist. So I think people believe that a thought leader is some kind of mecca to become, got to become this thought leader. And for me, a thought leader typically is just somebody who's noisy. What we don't do is any validation on anything that they're saying. And in my experience, there is not a direct link between the noise that someone makes and the personal brand they've built and how good they are. There is a direct link between the noise that they make and how big, good a brand they've built and how good they are at that, but not how good they are at the actual thing that they preach about. So the amount of people I've met in my career and been lucky to meet who I've walked into a room with almost feeling overwhelmed by how amazing they are on LinkedIn or on Twitter or wherever their channel is. And I thought, this person's almost famous in their world, or potentially famous in some people's cases, that I've been disappointed when I actually engage with them on a human level and gone, oh, geez, okay, that's interesting, has been a real eye-opener for me. And I think it's about, you know, don't take things at face value when it comes to digital. The human being behind it is not the person that you see on those channels. And sometimes they're incredible, other times they're not. And I think we hang off of people's profiles on a B2B channel like LinkedIn or Instagram, and actually the human behind it is still exactly that. They're an imperfect human.
Tactical sessions, inspirational keynotes, off-the-clock antics. And let's not forget about immeasurable connections. What am I talking about? The B2B Forum, of course. For more than 15 years, the B2B Forum has been the conference where today's leading B2B marketers gather for insights, networking, and laughs. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's never too early to plan for success. Join us in 2023 in October for inspiration from B2B marketing experts. And I mean those marketers who walk the walk and know how to talk the talk in a way that you can understand. Get access to real-world actionable insights on the tactics and tools that work today and strategies that stand the test of time. When you say, well, on October 4th, you can join us for the B2B Forum full-day workshop for all access attendees. And on the 5th and 6th, well, spectacular conference shenanigans. That's right. If you head over to the B2B Forum website right now, you can sign up to join us October 4th through the 6th for some amazing education. And guess what? I'll see you next year at the B2B Forum. That's right. I'll be there. Will you?
Oh, an imperfect human. I love this idea that you're kind of bouncing again of maybe a thought leader doesn't exist. I will tell you one thing in my own personal life that I try to do is no matter if I'm on stage, if I'm on social media, or you're sitting around my fire pit in my backyard, I want you to feel like it's just the same person. And Owen, I totally hear what you're saying because sometimes that is not the reality that we live in. Very good. So one of the things, Owen, that I like to do just as a human in general, but for sure for the Marketing Smarts listeners, I like to be tactical and strategical. And so when we talk about this kind of empowering sales success and the role that us as marketers play, are there any tips, tricks, templates, hacks? Owen, I'm throwing all the words at you today that B2B marketers can use when creating sales enablement strategy for their organization or creating sales enablement content? That might be two different questions, so feel free to expand as much as you need.
I get asked similar questions quite regularly. I always default to the same reaction with this, which is that how involved are the salespeople in defining that? So what you see is brilliant marketing leaders come up with a strategy around enabling their sales team, and they do it in isolation. You'd be surprised how common that is. They do it, they build it, with no conversation with the sales team or limited conversation with the sales team around what are prospects actually looking for? What are they missing in the conversation? What do you need to be more successful? And so I think, you know, that word alignment is bouncing around a lot at the moment. I think it's more important than ever that there's a collaboration in this process, that actually it's about giving the salespeople a voice in the process so that they can contribute what it is that they need. And I think that's where it starts, a bit like with the essence of the brand thing I talked about earlier. But get the starting point right, and the rest will flow from there. What tends to happen is marketing team build it, and at the end they go to sales teams, do you think this will help? And sales team go, yeah, because they've done loads of work on it and they can't say no. Surprise, surprise, it doesn't go anywhere, it fails. So look, I think starting with the foundations, getting it right in the first place, is a really obvious one when you say it out loud, but you'd be surprised how many people are not doing it. You talk about the templates and tips and tricks, the simplicity of having a plan, sticking to that plan, come back to that quality versus quantity, that volume and quality of content thing. You've got to make sure that you don't just produce content once and then nothing afterwards of any value. I preach to our clients and I preach to my team. Sometimes it's okay just to put content out for content's sake. You know, it is okay. Is the world perfect? No, but we need to be seen and we need to be heard. So don't put terrible content out, but not every post, not every video is going to be your best one, and be okay with that. So there's a couple of things there that I guess most commonly come into the conversations that I have.
Yeah, I love so much of that section, but I have to be honest with you, the hot take for me is have a conversation, ask some questions, actually listen, and then maybe start to create something, because you're actually going to create something of value, not wasting their time or wasting our time as the marketer. So good. So good out of that. So Owen, if people are listening to this and they're like, yes, I need to focus more on sales enablement. Yes, I could be part of what might be a revenue team in the future. Yes, I need to just kind of be part of the thing that equals success for the organization. They're going to start down that journey. But Owen, there's going to be, well, you can call them potholes, roadblocks. I call them hurdles. What are some hurdles you've seen B2B marketers face when trying to utilize sales enablement for their sales team's success?
I think it's a similar point, but the other way around, where it comes back to empathy and understanding. In my opinion, marketers should be selling. Marketers should be involved in the sales process. And the moment you do that is the moment, it's like an aha moment. The marketer goes, I get it. This is what we need to be using. This is what we need to be doing. I think the hurdles will come, more hurdles will come, if you don't understand the process. So my advice to people is get involved in the sales process. If you're a marketeer, go sit on some demos, go sit in some discoveries, handle some inbound inquiries, make a few cold calls, go and have some conversations, know what it feels like, know what it looks like. A lot of the hurdles, you can anticipate them because you've felt it, you've seen it, and you'll be thinking about them before you hit them, because the worst thing is hitting a hurdle, not knowing it's coming, right? If you know you're going to have the hurdle, you're planning for it way before. So I always talk about this foundational thing. If you can get the foundations right, if you get the plan right in the first place, It's so much easier to get the rest to fall into place. And then I think the other piece is around getting sales buy-in, making sure that your sales team is utilizing the stuff that you're creating, making sure that they are pointing people to the right things, that they're bought into the why. Why are we doing this? Why are we changing the way you sell? Why are we asking you to follow this process that you weren't following before? Why does it matter? Because salespeople are inherently selfish. We want the shortest route to sale, and we want to do it the easiest possible way. And if you're asking me to do things that are in the way, I really need to understand why that's the case. So I think there's a couple of things there.
Yeah, I love, at least like, but I think love, to be honest with you, that you said marketers need to sell. And I would double down on that and say, and sales needs to market. If you can have this little fringe side of what you think you could be doing above what you are doing, you start to, and I love the word, by the way, empathy. You start to have, as a marketer, empathy for sales, and sales starts to have empathy for marketing. And this is where those siloed teams end up being able to transform, instead of sales and marketing, into a revenue team as they move forward. And that, ladies and gentlemen, Marketing Smarts listeners, that's when it gets exciting. So let's talk about the other side of this, Owen. Since it was hurdles, maybe we're in a race, maybe it's the Olympics. We're on the number one podium. We've got a gold medal around our neck. What does success look like? How do we know that we've reached sales alignment nirvana, or are a gold medal winner, to keep that analogy rolling? What does that success period in time look like?
I have a really good answer for this, I think. So, in my opinion, you'll know you've been successful when two things happen. A, when marketing celebrate a closed deal. So at the moment, the business celebrates the salesperson closing the deal. But when marketing is celebrating it and being celebrated for that, then you've reached that success. You've reached that point where people get it, where big client comes in through inbound inquiry, salesperson doesn't create the content, the proposal, the nurture streams, all the stuff that bring them in there in the first place, or then take them through the sales process, and they hold the steering wheel, yep, but they got everybody else in there as a passenger supporting them, and they get to the finish line. And what most businesses do is say, hey, well done, George, you've closed the deal. No, you haven't. The team have closed the deal, and marketing were a part of that. So the moment that it's natural in the culture, which you have to kind of practice to start with, but where marketing gets celebrated and celebrates themselves because they care about it, a closed deal is the moment for me that you reach success. And I think the same is true the other way around. When sales start saying thank you to marketing, or start acknowledging a great opportunity coming in top of funnel, and they do that off their own bat, that for me is where you've reached a point of success.
I love this so much. And it's funny, because when you mentioned that, I called back to an episode that I did with Liz Murphy. And she talked about this whole like understanding and tying back to those closed sales, the content that actually was part of the journey, therefore marketing being part of the success of that closure as well. Marketing Smarts, if you haven't listened to The Importance of Being Human in Your B2B Content with Liz Murphy, then definitely go check out that episode. So, Owen, as we kind of land the plane here, you've been on a journey. You obviously have been talking about, or thinking about, or doing, you know, sales enablement, aligning teams, aka empowering sales success. Along the way, we get these nuggets, I like to call them wisdom. And so what are some words of wisdom that you would want to share with the Marketing Smarts listeners about sales, sales enablement, or heck, Owen, maybe even life itself? What are your final words of wisdom?
I think that you talked about, I didn't hear the name of the person clearly, but you talked about the human element of a previous interview you've done. I did a conference a couple of years ago about sales leadership, saying how to lead your sales team like a human. And I think that for me is really poignant. And I think it's true across everything that we do as leaders, whether we're marketing, sales, or revenue as a whole. It's about leading as a human and genuinely caring about the people that are within your teams. Because if you do that, then you always get a better outcome. And I think for me, as a founder of an agency that aligns sales and marketing, that's what we do. We do those two things hand in hand. I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly across that. And the key theme that I can pick out where success has happened is where the people care about each other, where the people are aligned, where the relationships are genuine, where they want to work together, where they're a genuine team. it always stems from the leadership. So if you get leadership right, which means clear vision, guidance, genuinely caring for people, giving them the support they need, giving them clear direction, giving them feedback, being honest with them, not shying away from the difficult conversations, all that kind of stuff. If you get that right and you show empathy and desire to lead in that way, then across sales, marketing, enablement, alignment, and every other part of business, you will always get a better outcome. And that's the philosophy that I try to live by.
So, Marketing Smarts listeners, did you take lots of notes? I have to ask, what is your hashtag one thing, your number one execution opportunity after this podcast? Make sure you reach out and let us know in my inbox or on Twitter using the hashtag, MPB2B. Also, I have to ask, are you a free member of the Marketing Profs community yet? If not, head over to mprofs.com/MP today. You won't regret the additional B2B marketing education you'll be adding to your life. Hey, listeners, we'd like it if you could leave us a rating or a review, but we'd love it if you'd share this episode with a coworker or friend. Until we meet in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast, where we talk with Nancy Harhut about discover the brain science that drives B2B buyer behavior. Oh, my. I hope you do just a couple of things. One, reach out and let us know what conversation you'd like to listen on next. Two, focus on getting 1% better at your craft each and every day. And finally, remember to be a happy, helpful, humble B2B marketing human, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast.